The subject of prayer this morning, I put up there a fresh perspective, a little bit of revelation. I don't like to throw that term around loosely at all, but there was something that God kind of opened my eyes to. It made me go, wow, that is really cool. I'll share that in a few minutes. A lot of encouragement, not just some, and some challenge. But I have to tell you what's happened. I could easily say a few years back. I could say 2 years ago. I could say a year ago. But even as recent as 6 months ago, I first started coming to his office and saying, we really, really need to have some corporate prayer meetings, need to have prayer, need to have people meeting united. Would you please remember all the time I'm up here this morning, what I say I'm desiring and what I believe God's desiring for us to do, partly through me and partly through all of you, has nothing to do with we're not happy with what's happening so far. That's not it at all. Especially in the subject of prayer, if I challenge you in any way and say, I believe this is what God's calling myself and man to do, it does not imply in any way, shape, or form that what you're doing now, what you're called to do now, is not right, okay? Please don't take it that way. That, when we shared in his office a couple weeks ago, that was, I think, both of our business concerned. To be gentle this morning, to be an encouraging only, and yet still, it's okay to be challenged. 6 months ago, when we finally set pretty much a time and a space and says we are going to start having meetings, started Thursday nights and Saturday mornings, just felt it was so much. Well, do you know where I was in my prayer life at that time? I am no longer ashamed of it so much or humiliated. But knowing that God had called me for years and years, I've always had an anointing. Some of you can relate to. It's a special gift sometimes when you're in the midst of prayer and God just rises up and you can't stop. You just feel the overwhelming power in your prayers. We all have different types of gifts, some in prayer, some in worship, where you're just there and get us up to the mountains. And some in teaching where you just get into it and you're enthralled and you're grasping the people. Our gifts are all different. But in prayer, I've always had those moments. And yet, I know God was always saying, Jim, you need to be in prayer more. Those moments are good. But that's not at all where He's calling me to be on long term. So all the time I was coming and saying, we need corporate prayer. Do you know much of the reason why? Because I know that when we pray together corporately, small group or a large group, it's easier. It's a lot easier. How many of you can relate to that and say, when I'm home by myself, and even though I force myself to get up in the morning or sit any time by myself and sit on that couch or that chair, and that whether even if I have a list, do you all know how hard it is sometimes to just force yourself and to stir up the spirit and really enter in the way you want to? It's very, very hard to do. So I said, I just keep feeling this urge. I've felt it and felt it for so long. We need to have meetings, corporate prayer, corporate meaning, meeting together. But all the while I'm telling him that, I felt so guilty because my own personal prayer life was so horrible. Youth. Where you're scattered around a little bit, and that's good. But I remember a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I started working with the youth, teaching Sunday school and helping the evening some. I remember, I doubt if any of them remember, but we all shared about a couple of times, number of times. We'd pray for each other back there, and we'd share and say, what's the one thing, your weakest area that you want us to agree with in prayer? I don't know if any of them remember. Mine was prayer, my prayer life. My study life, astronomical. I love studying. It comes so easy. I can't help it. Don't be jealous. I get in the Bible and I can't put it down. And it's not just reading. It's just digging and digging and looking things up. I love it. It comes so easy. Any version. I can't help that. I love it. But out of balance is not good. It's just not good. All my Bible reading did not make up for a lack of prayer. And I felt horrible about it. So much of my reason for saying, Pastor, we've got to get meetings together because I believe we can strengthen each other. I know that when we get together, it's easier. We feel united and we can pray and almost bounce off each other. It's just a scriptural formula. that works, and it always will work. We agree together, we get together, and it's so much more power. That's where I'm coming from. In the last 6 months, really just 3 months even, very few of you would know unless you've been around me a lot, but I have been transformed in the area of prayer. I try and look back and say, even what I just told you, and say, I guess I remember that, but I can no longer relate to that feeling. It's all God's doing, okay? I stepped out in obedience, although other times I stepped out in obedience and tried to have meetings for years back. Remember other meetings we had here? And it just didn't work. I just did not break through. This time, I'll say God, it was all God, but in the other part, the flip side of the coin is, I had to do my part, and God says, I'm going to honor your request this time. Don't take that as a formula, that it has to be a number of times. I don't know why God chose this time, but this time, when we've been meeting together, the moment I step in this room, this building, sometimes it was the very moment I started playing some background music. Other times, it was the moment I get up here and pick up some requests. Just the Spirit of God came so strong, and it's been that way for 2.5 months or whatever we're meeting now. Prayer now, I still have to do my part to enter in, to say, I will not put up with not feeling the Spirit of God. I didn't stir it up. But the moment I do my part and say, I'm going to start praying, whether I feel or not, and I start praying for the corporate needs that I have up here on a whiteboard oftentimes, or I start picking up these request cards and start praying, even though I don't feel the Spirit, God has been faithful every single time. Every time. There has not been one time that God said, well, you're just going to have to be praying in faith only, no feelings. God is honored because His anointing has power. His Spirit's presence encourages us. It gives us the strength to keep praying and praying. To know where I've come, to know why I've not earned the right to be up here, don't dare get me wrong. But God chose. He spoke to Pastor Perry, I guess, and says, now's the time. Because now I can pray for an hour without any problem, and as much as 2 hours. And I stand in awe going, "This, how can this happen? God's just allowed me to do that." Now, the bottom line we'll get to in a little while here is because we need each other to pray for one another. We'll get to that in a few minutes. The bottom line is not to say you all need to have the exact same experience as me. That has nothing to do with this message. Okay, but my testimony lets you know that God's brought me to a point where I felt breakthrough, and I am so passionate about praying for other people now. If you all don't remember, we advertised at the very first meeting and said, well, I don't want to focus on requests. Anybody remember that? I remember it clearly, because I says, I don't want to have a bunch of personal requests. We need to focus on the corporate church, the world, the political arena, and all these other things. Not so much personal requests. And that very first night meeting here, God decided, Jim, you got it all wrong. It's exactly the opposite. We still pray for those other things. But now, requests to get them through Facebook and text messages, people email me, they call, getting them through the church, personal. I'm getting so many requests now that I stand in awe that God has given us the privilege, we who meet together here, to pray for so many people and so many needs. It is amazing. The up button? I can't see. To where? Computer? That computer? Oh. You said. Oh, right. Okay. I forgot to pray about that. Here's where I had God clearly show me something about 3 weeks ago. Reading this verse, I was reading it, but I got here early, maybe around 6:10, 6:15, getting things ready, getting the music ready, getting all the requests laid out. I lay a whole bunch of cards out here that whoever shows up, we pray for them as we feel. It's complete freedom and liberty to pray however you want, wherever you want. It's just no rules, except don't bother anybody, except unless you feel like we need to pray together on this. We do that sometimes, but a lot, just freedom. But I got here early, and it's like God, direct me back to this verse that we talk about all the time. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Forget about 15, 16. I erased that in my head. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And it was the first time I've been a Christian. It'll be 40 years next August. And I've heard this verse all kinds of times. And I've never heard anybody point out who's speaking. The Lord speaking. It says the Lord speaking. Did he stop saying any of that quote up there in verse 14? No, it was always him speaking. So what did he say? He says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I was standing right here with my Bible and looking at that, saying, well, let's hurry this up. I'm not supposed to be reading. I'm supposed to be praying, which was silly because God was in it. And I looked at that and says, the Lord said, then after the people do these things, they seek his face, they humble themselves, and they pray. I imagine it to be Jesus. Jesus is usually referred to in the Old Testament as Lord many times anyway, or an angel. Details, if you don't see that, that's fine. But it was the Lord speaking. And he says, then he's watching the people and say, you've done those things. Then, now, I can hear from heaven. And then I will forgive their sin, heal their land. You understand what happens there? When we do our part, is the Lord says, now you have given me authority, not authority, permission. You've released your needs, your land, all the things you're praying about. You've released in me and giving me the authority to go to the Father and say, Father, now I release what's in heaven on earth because they asked. To me, that was a revelation like, wow, we are given the authority. Does it sound familiar? Luke 11:2, one of the two places or three where the what we call the Lord's Prayer is really the model prayer that the Lord taught us how to pray. What do we preach quite often these days? The kingdom of in heaven as it is on earth. What's their wording now? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're calling down what God has ordained and spoken that he desires to have happen in heaven, and we're calling it to happen on earth. It's the exact same concept way back there in 2 Chronicles. I never saw that. In another place, Jesus himself was speaking in John 5 when he's talking to people. He says, and they were arguing with him, criticizing him. He says, well, whatever the Father says, that's all I'm going to do. I don't do anything unless the Father says to do it. Do you remember that? It's a number of times in the Gospels he says that. And I'm thinking, wow, the authority that has been given us, released to us. Do you remember this passage? John 5, the stirring of the waters. I have many times erroneously, whew, that's a big word, I've sometimes made a mistake of looking at this and say, ooh, got to wait for the stirring. Wait till the Spirit's moving. Got to wait, wait, wait. Because this is the incident where Jesus is there. He comes up at the pool of, I think it was Bethesda. Is that right? I think so. And this man sitting there, 38 years, crippled or whatever he was. I'm not sure, he wasn't paralyzed. And Jesus come up and asked him, do you want to be healed? And he says, well, every time the water gets stirred, I try to get there, but others beat me. By the way, if you read the next few verses, he didn't know who Jesus was at that time. He didn't know. And because they asked him later, I don't know, this guy told me, he healed me. And he found out later and said, oh, by the way, I found out his name's Jesus. It's so funny when you read it. But how many times have we been tempted to use that as some kind of model and say, wait for the stirring of the waters. The truth is, this is not a guidebook, this passage. I think it's a guidebook the other way, telling us we don't have to wait for the angel to come down. We've been given authority to stir the waters whenever we want. Shouldn't that give us confidence in our prayers, confidence in our worship to say we're stirring up the Spirit of God? We'll move the waters whenever we want to. Do you see the difference in this thinking? It's no longer, oh, Lord, please, please, I beg you, Lord. And Father sitting there saying, I already gave you all the authority. Do something with it. We have already been given all the authority that's available, and that's all. Oh, hey, it worked anyway. James 2, another one. Where's my Bible? Oh, I didn't get it out yet. I try to memorize most everything. Anyway, James 2 is a passage where he says, James writing, he says, you war and you lust and you do all these things, and yet you don't receive because you didn't ask. Well, here I paraphrased it, but it is exactly what it says. You do everything you can to get what you want, but you don't have it because you don't ask. Do we like hearing that? Well, probably not sometimes. It's like, well, you put the blame on me. What does the scripture say? Sometimes, like the woman who went all 30-some years and spent everything she had, it says, and then Jesus healed her because that's when she reached out and touched him. Is that some kind of guidebook saying, use up all your resources, use all your money, finance your home, go to everywhere you can to get healed? Don't get me wrong, and I know you don't get me wrong, Ray, or anybody else in the medical field. God leads you that way. I'm all for it, and I'll pray blessings on the healers, the doctors, the physicians of every kind. But how often do we forget to say, I'm going to the great physician first? Then if he leads me, I'll be glad to go that other route. But how often do we do everything we can to get what we want in so many areas? We work and work and labor and spend years planning and building and studying and all this to get somewhere in life and never ask, say, Lord, can you please open the door for me to get a better job, to get my finances in order, to, and on the list goes of all the things we fight to do, and it doesn't come to pass. And all God's saying is, you didn't ask. I've been reminded of that so many times. It's similar to what Tom was teaching this morning. We've gotten back in the works mentality. We'll work, 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 and say we're saved by faith, and he wants us to live by faith too. So much better. It really is so much better. These are the ones I want to go through. What do these passages have in common? Again, I know the gist of them. First one, you're familiar with this. I remember sharing this with Pastor Perry in the office. He says, yeah, he says, that makes sense. Malachi, we quote it all the time. Didn't God say, try me now and see if I will pour out a blessing? It's easy enough to say that about finances, but what about every other area of our life? Do we say, oh, I'm going to go to faith first and try God and say, will you pour out a blessing in other areas? Will you answer prayer before me working it out? Does God want us to have a blessing? This is the part where you answer, oh, of course, he really does. Second one, ask, seek, knock. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. Did he imply in any way that anybody should stop with just asking? If you get the answer with just asking, I'm thrilled for you. But oftentimes, because we're human and God wants us to grow and mature, toughen up sometimes, he says you not only have to ask, you have to seek and you knock, and sometimes you knock and knock and knock. That's just the way it is in our life. But he gave us the formula, so why would we argue about it and say, well, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. That's not going to, I'm tired of seeking and knocking. I can't help it. It's scripture. Jesus himself said, I want you to persevere. The woman who came before the unjust judge, why did he give her what she wanted? She kept coming over and over. Importunity is the big word. I love that passage. It tells us that sometimes you got to stick with it and say, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe, I'm going to believe. I'm going to skip 2 Kings for now because that's my, I love it. Matthew 26, 40-46 is where the Jesus, yeah, what did I say? 26. 40-41. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is the popular, famous passage here. He went to the garden to pray, Garden of Gethsemane, and he went and prayed, and then it says in verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? How quick is the church as a whole, how quick are we to say, well, that's just symbolic. He didn't really mean an hour. I understand, and I know that not everybody is going to be called to pray an hour at a time or two, but isn't there something there to say, you really didn't put a lot of effort into it? Is that what he's telling Peter here? 41, watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my father, if this cup cannot pass away, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. And this happened again. What was the price of them falling asleep? They missed out on a blessing. I don't know what Jesus would have had happen. He still would have had to follow his father's will, but why would he even put this in here? Why would he bring it up? It's not to criticize them and tell us centuries later, oh, these guys, they weren't as great as you thought they were. It's not that. I think there's a lesson there saying, I wish they had put a little more into it because they could have seen more. They might have seen me intercede with the Father. They could have been with me. They would have grasped something more than what they know so far. I think they missed an opportunity. I really do. They missed a blessing of being there with Jesus praying all that time. You have to wonder, why did he invite them? Ephesians 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The word prayer is never included there. What's taught there is just how much is available to us. It's in terminology that we kind of skip over when we're talking about our lives. When we get all spiritual, we like to think, oh, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what I mean? When everything, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, isn't that the same as the kingdom of heaven that we want to be prayed here on earth, that we want to see happen? Everything he has thought about up there for us, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, every spiritual blessing. If he desires to bless us spiritually, then he wants us to ask for it. It is all available. Now the one in 2 Kings, it just... I love it. I don't mark anything. 13. That's a long way for me to see back there. This is where Elisha followed Elijah. He was his... who's the person that comes after? Huh? Successor, okay. You could shout out a little louder, you know. What? Elisha's nearing death. Okay, and at that time, just came in to reign Joash. He wasn't the greatest king. But he comes to Elisha, and he says, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen, and he's weeping and crying. And you find out later that the guy really... He wasn't really that interested in doing all of God's will. It's just the way it was. A lot of the kings were that way. So Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he himself took a bow and some arrows. He took himself. Then he said to the king of Israel, Elisha said to Joash, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. I don't know if he was standing behind him or he just reached over. I'm very visual. I love to picture this. And he says to Joash, now, go to the window, the north window, and shoot the arrow. And I don't know, I almost suspect Elijah still had his hand on it because the anointing was there. He shoots the arrow. He says, I'll read the exact words so I don't do it wrong. Shoot, and he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. That arrow, you talk about a prophetic action. The arrow of the Lord. He shot the arrow. That's all he did. He didn't hit anybody. There's no enemy out there. But it was an action. And Elisha put his hands on it. He says, victory is yours. But he had something else he wanted him to do. Then he said, take the arrows. So Joash took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck. And honestly, I won't do it with this mic so close. But it's this Elijah sitting there. Why didn't you strike? Keep striking the ground. You only struck it three times. What's wrong with you? That's really what I believe Elijah was saying. I offered you this anointing. God told me to put my hand there. He told me to bless it. Strike the ground. I told you. And God would bless it that many times. That's how much victory he'd give you. And instead, Joash went, I picture it, he didn't go, rrr. He probably didn't. You get the impression, Joash, huh? That's the way I picture it, and I believe that's the spirit of it. And Elisha was mad at him. Here's the man of God with amazing anointing. Read farther, you'll find out how much anointing. The dead got raised when they got thrown in the tomb with him. That's how much anointing was on Elisha. And here, the king could have had all that power. Victory. Complete victory, he said. He would annihilate all the Syrians. What did he do? Haphazard. Big deal. So what do all these have in common? What does God desire for us, even though we don't always achieve it? Just more. More and more and more God desires. God cares about every detail of your life. That's why I love the scripture. It tells me what God thinks of me, what he wants to do for me, how he relates to the church and to all of mankind. It's revealing God's will from beginning to end. It's not just New Testament. It's the whole scripture. God speaks, and I see God for what he is and how much he cares about every detail of my life. That's what God wants us to have, not what many of the others settled for. Less is not good. In a minute, you'll see a picture of him up here in a second. When you share personal requests, when you ask somebody for prayer for something that's important to you, what prevents you from sharing personal requests? I want you to take about 15 seconds here and think for yourself and say, why don't I share something I wish people were praying for? Think about it. Come up with an answer. Why wouldn't you share? Well, we'll talk about it in a second. But think about it and get an answer in your head. Why you don't share something that's important to you? Why don't you bother asking somebody to pray for you? Now tell me if it fits into any of these. I would say that probably 95%, if not everybody in here, has an answer that fits in one of these categories. And that's not good, because God wants us to have so much more. The reason, the picture of us uniting together, the reason we're family, the reason we keep encouraging one another is because we want to. This is the reason at the beginning I first share with you where I'm at right now. My prayer life is just wanting. I don't know if some of you on the MCC prayer request page, I don't know if you got tired of me keeping asking for requests. Do you get tired of me asking in the services or anything? Get tired of seeing the bulletin? I don't know. It's because I've seen what God wants to do through all of us, praying and agreeing for one another. I understand if you don't share something because you really don't have somebody you completely trust. I hope you've got somebody you can trust completely. If it's something private you don't want the whole church to know about, I hope you have somebody that you're willing to tell to pray for you. Okay? And the others, similar to what Victoria said, you don't share because it's not important enough to bother people. It's not important enough compared to other more critical requests. It's not important enough to risk failure. And sometimes until we're the end of our rope, we say, boy, if I ask and it doesn't happen, if it's only I just have a cold, I just have a fever, it's just the flu, instead of on my deathbed, if I ask for prayer and it doesn't happen the way we prayed, I might be looked upon as failure. Not by others, probably, just by ourselves, because that's what Satan puts in our minds, or we think it up ourselves. None of these reasons are good reasons to not ask for requests. That's the crux, the main reason I'm here up here this morning. I want to do everything I possibly can to convince everyone in this congregation, and today, whether you're a visitor or regular, it doesn't matter. I want to convince everybody, just passionate plea, say, please, we need to start sharing with one another. We really need to share with one another. Some of you know me very well. Others, if you don't know me that well, you might not want to come to me, and that's perfectly fine. That doesn't bother me at all. Not at all, but you need to go to somebody. And stop thinking that your requests are too small. Do you know how important dreams are? I think that's one of the biggest requests I would love to agree with somebody. Your dreams, your passions that you haven't seen accomplished yet in your life. And the list could go on forever about dreams. A number of weeks ago when my son-in-law, Jose, taught in Sunday school, he had a number of the people all write out their dream. That's what he termed it, dream on a slip of paper. He told me, I never saw them, but he told me that he was shocked at how small some of the dreams were. I actually believe I could look around and keep going around this room over and over and say, I really want to agree with every single one of you because you have a dream, something you want to accomplish, some way you want to be used by God, some way you want to achieve a new vocation, some way you want more finances to come in, some way you want a family, a husband, kids, grandkids, whatever it is. I would love to agree with you on those things. But I know for sure that there's a whole bunch of other people in here who want to agree with you on that too. So the question is, what keeps us from asking? Not important enough to bother people? There is nothing. If the last slide is correct and God cares about every single detail of your life, shouldn't we as His people here on earth with His Spirit in us also care about every detail of each other's lives? I say yes, absolutely. Is it easy? No. If they were here this morning, I would again apologize to Sean Lytle. About 10, 15 years ago, he came up at the end of a Friday night or somewhere, it was back in that corner, I remember. And I apologized to him many years later when I realized what I did. He asked me to pray for miraculous healing of his teeth. And I looked at him, I says, well, I have a hard time agreeing with that with you. Why don't you go to a dentist? Because it's the type of thing you say, well, you can't expect. And I look back now and say, I was so wrong. I should have prayed. And if God leads him to a good dentist, fine. If God desires to do a miracle, who am I to say that's not the right way? Even remembering it now, it makes me mad that I didn't realize that back then. There was not a single request any of you can ask me that I just can't imagine anything that you can ask to be prayed for that I would say, well, I don't know about that. Everything's important. And if it's important to you, it's supposed to be important to all your family, us. Can you agree with that? Not important enough to compare to more critical requests. Same concept. You want to wait till somebody's on their deathbed and that's all you want to ask for, or somebody's critical, they're in ICU, they're whatever, the horrible things only? I understand, I want to hear those too. But we've got to stop thinking that it's only those emergencies that God cares about that we are supposed to care about. If it ends up 20 people asking you to pray for them, you got 50 requests, so be it. I think that's the church of today and tomorrow. I really do. This is that card I'm going to hand out here in a couple minutes. In fact, four youth who agreed and a couple other ushers, if you'd come up, please. If you can read what it's... Oh, okay. She's putting on some music. It'll be back in a second. I promise. It's a simple card, pray in agreement. Just wait here a second. You're fine. Pray in agreement. It says, will you enter a prayer covenant with me? I promise to pray for your requests for 2 weeks, if you will also. Let's see what God will do according to His word. Please clearly and briefly write your request on the back. Return this card to me personally only, please. It will remain confidential to the prayer group. There's a change I want to make on here. Use all these cards you want. I believe in this so much, and I hope you take this right. I had these all printed up. And don't think a second thing of it. I would do it over and over. If people would use them, write requests and give them to somebody. If you want to give it to somebody else instead of me, our prayer group that meets, that's perfectly fine with me. Write it on the back. Give it to anybody. Anybody. If you want to give them to me, I'm thrilled with that. If I get 100 requests, I don't care. I will find time to pray. You guys just grab there's some more there. Just grab a small handful. I guess something like that. Split those in two and the others. If you think you can find it in yourself to write requests and ask me or others to pray and agree with you, I ask you, please, to do that. Take more than one if you want. And right now, if you'll just raise your hand if you want to use one of these, or more. If you want to use more than one, raise your hand. If you want to write something down and share it and ask people to pray. Matthew 18, 19, 20, we've heard a lot. If two of you agree on any on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The power of agreement. Great power in agreeing together. Also in Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Do you remember what that's about? The power. Two are better than one. A twofold cord is strong, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Do you remember that passage? If one falls down, the other will be there to lift him up. How much we need to apply that spiritually and in prayer, intercession for one another. I had somebody recently ask me for some serious prayer. And I wrote back and felt like a breakthrough in my spirit. And I can report that positive things are happening. And I wrote the person back and says, now listen, there is twofold power in agreeing with somebody. One is that both are praying, okay? That's this hand. You know what the other is that's just as powerful? When you know somebody is agreeing with you. How many of you feel so encouraged when somebody says, I'm with you on this. I'm going to be agreeing with you. Do you know what power there is in that? I feel so much better when somebody says, I'll be praying with you for this. I'm going to keep praying with you for this. Let's make a covenant. 2 weeks, if you want more, we'll do more. If you want this ongoing, we'll be ongoing. There's some requests I have in my index cards that have been for months now. That doesn't bother me at all. Because God has got it through my head that as long as it takes, ask, seek, knock, and knock, and knock, and keep interceding, keep it agreeing until there's a breakthrough. I don't want anybody to leave this place this day or any other day without feeling like you have family here, and you can write a request to people and ask them to agree with you. There is such power in agreement. I felt strongly to make this a covenant instead of just offering to prayer. Here's why. A covenant means you've made a solemn vow in agreement with somebody. From my half of it is I'm promising I won't miss unless something, an emergency comes up and I just unable. I refuse to let myself forget praying for people now. Although sometimes we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I forget things, and I remember I told somebody to pray for, and I didn't write it down. I think, oh, I can't believe I told them I'd be praying while they go to an interview, while they do this, while they're in a doctor's office or whatever. And I forgot to pray, and I feel horrible. That I take my word very, very seriously. That's what a covenant's about. Whether you finish praying or not for 2 weeks straight, I'm going to be praying for you anyway. And I'll probably just keep praying. If you have a request written down and I don't hear something back, I'm going to keep praying. Again, it's not Jim Novotny's doing. God thrust this upon me brand new in my spirit the last couple months. I'm just blown away with how much their power there is in praying for people. I'm loving it. Last one, but you may receive according to the covenant being fulfilled. If you choose not to fulfill your half of the covenant, you'll have to ask God about how much He will bless you. I don't want to I don't want to play God. I know what a covenant is. I know what the scripture teaches, that you're bound to it. But it's up to God of how much He'll bless you if you don't also pray. I hope you think it's important enough to also be praying for yourself and your request. That's the last there. Pastor Perry's going to be coming back up and doing his thing at the end here. If you fill those out today and want to give them to me, I thought I carried that basket up, yeah. First of all, you just drop them here. I also encourage you to give them to somebody else if you would rather do that. That's perfectly fine with me. Find somebody that will be in agreement with you and support you. There's one group I would like to come up and I would like to pray with while he's having the ministry teams and that. He'll invite them up and they'll be praying for any other need you want. But if you feel like you have been called to a lot more prayer like I felt I was, and I just needed that breakthrough, then I'd like you to come up and I want to pray and agree with you that you'll have the breakthrough. Why? Because you won't be satisfied until you have the breakthrough. I know what it is to have a deep desire and not have it fulfilled, have a passion and not be able to walk it out. It's painful. There's no joy there. So if your desire has become more of a prayer warrior than you are now, if that's not, then if you're happy where you are, then I'm happy for you too. Do you got that? I'm thrilled wherever you are. But if you know that God's been speaking to you and say, I need to pray more, then I would love to pray with you. We might, if there's a few who come up, we'll pray as a group. I don't know. But please, share with somebody.